Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. My name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com. So, information services and resources for people who work in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and the associated businesses across the world. Shout out for those of you who are interested in joining the business, maybe as a medical writer or as account manager. Provide a lot of resources at firstmedcomsjob.com. You'll find careers guides and articles and so on. Also, shout out for Network Pharma TV. I've got more than 500 videos now on all sorts of aspects of Medcom's work. So, lots to go and have a look at. I'm currently having a bit of fun. I'm talking to people around the world who are working in Medcoms, hearing a bit about their stories and what they're doing to provide some insights into the business and the people. And today, I'm delighted. I'm joined by Sarah from Toronto in Canada. Over to you, Sarah. Tell us who you are, where you are, and we'll talk a little bit about your journey into Medcoms.
Wonderful. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I'm Sarah Kohar. I am actually originally from the UK, but I moved to Canada 10 years ago. And I'm currently at Cordex, which is an IPG health company.
Okay, so let's cover off core. Let's go this way around. Let's talk about Cordex and IPG Health co Company. Just talk a little bit about the company, the size of the company, the nature of the company.
Absolutely. So Cordex is the Medcoms agency. There's about eight agencies across IPG Health. And we're sort of, all over the world. We have offices in the UK, US, and then myself in Canada. We have about, I would say, 50 people, 45 to 50 people in Canada, and about 100 people across sort of internationally at Cordex. And then obviously the other agencies as well are spread out wide and far.
Okay, and just again, paint the picture. So what sort of clients are you working with? International head offices? Just give us a sense of the sort of work you do.
Absolutely. So, although we're based in Canada, obviously our expertise are quite wide. So, we do have, as well as our Canadian clients, we have US clients, we have global clients. We'll have clients sort of, mainly based in Europe or in the UK. We also, across the agencies, work with, other clients, for example, in Brazil, France, Spain, or South Africa, for example, doing multiple kinds of work, mainly with pharmaceutical companies. But other than like promotional medical education, you can do medical affairs, medcoms, things like that.
Within a company like Cordex and the broader IPG, how much are you operating as a team based in Canada, or is there sort of a team spread around the world? How much do you support each other in the other sort of international offices and so on?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it can be client specific, and really what the needs of the particular project or client
Right.
could be. But what is wonderful is that we do have a wonderfully like collaborative approach. And it, at the end of the day, it works out really nicely for our clients because they get expertise. If it's a global product, for example, they get our expertise from wherever they have indications that have been approved or are looking to get indications approved. Or just raising awareness about the disease. So we can reach out to our colleagues and get them to be very specific to whatever country that we're focusing on. But as far as sort of day-to-day management of the project may go, whether it's from the account side or from the medical services side, it's really nice because we can sort of extend our day. Because if it's not, world related, like country specific, we can have a medical writer, for example, start something in the morning and then they hand it off in the afternoon to the people in North America and we can finish something off. So it just adds that flexibility, but also that kind of breadth of knowledge and expertise as well, which works really nicely.
Okay, and presumably, again, I'm making you can probably just say yes to this, but within a company like IPG, where there's so many different sort of skill bases. I mean, you're much bigger than Medcoms, aren't you? So
Absolutely.
again, you'd have the access to a lot of resources and a lot of skills and expertise in lots of different sort of communication type areas. Is that just a simple yes?
Yep, you name it, we've done it. We can access it, with
Right.
firewalls, obviously, as well, as
Sure, sure,
needed.
sure, sure. Sure. Okay. So look, yourself, Sarah, let's go back to the beginning. Tell us a bit about your journey. You started off in academia. I think you were doing a PhD and postdoc, I think. Just go back to the beginning, talk us through it. And the key question from my point of view is, so why and how did you get into Medcoms?
Absolutely. So yes, I was in academia, so I did my PhD at the University of Sheffield. And then, like anybody who wants to stay in academia, you're told, if you really want to do, a postdoc and sort of move on from there, you've got to do an international postdoc. So I did, I did some interviews, and I had a couple of options, but I ended up choosing Toronto, in Canada. I was at the Hospital for Sick Children, and I was there for 3 years doing my postdoc. And I think during that time, I was, I kind of you realize whether you want to stay or you don't. And I decided that I wanted to leave academia, and it wasn't quite for me. And so I started to look at what was out there, and I think it's really tough, when you've spent so long in academia, you know nothing other than what is, in front of you and around you. So I remember just sort of searching what I thought were my, skills, so like medical writing or editing, things like that, and seeing what the internet would throw back at me. And a lot of it was very medical related. And so I ended up applying for a job to be a medical editor with a med comms agency here in Toronto. And I got an interview. I went, I did a test, I passed it. And then they asked me to come in for a second time. And I thought, okay, this is good, second interview. So I go, and they're like, listen, you've got the job as a medical editor. You did well on your test, and we're happy to hire you as such. However, having met you, we think you'd make a really good account manager. And I was like, oh, actually, no, I think you're wrong, because I'm really terrible with numbers. So that's just not going to work out for your to your benefit. They were like, no, we're not asking you to be an accountant. Thankfully, and they just told me what it means to be as part of client services and what account manager means. And I thought, oh my goodness, this sounds wonderful. Being with people who I love, and developing relationships and helping them get from A to B within a project, which I also very much enjoy. And I said, no, that sounds really exciting. And they said, okay, so let's try it out for 6 months, be a medical editor, and we'll give you a project to manage. I was like, great. Within, I think, oh, what, 3, 4 weeks, I was like, shh, I don't want to be an editor. I want to be an accountant. So we passed that on to somebody else, and I became an account manager full time. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess. That set me off on my client services journey.
It's interesting, isn't it? So looking back at that stage, had that even occurred to you? I mean, I don't know, when you're looking at the business from the outside, how clear it is that those different roles even exist. W
Yeah, absolutely.
were they at
No,
all?
no. And I think it's important, because what we think our key skills are very much what we've been told they are, right? And if you've been in academia, all you've been told is, you're good at medical writing, you're good at scientific exchange, you're good at interpreting and translating science into, layman's terms, or whatever it needs to be. And you don't think about, for example, doing a PhD or a master's or any kind of, education. You don't realize how much time management goes into that, how much prioritization goes into that. All these things that are actually really great transferable skills for a career in client services, but none of that is really, I think, provided to you as a skill. It's more of a, well, you just need this to get on with the rest of the stuff that, you're doing as part of your day-to-day in academia. So, I think if people were exposed to some more of these transferable skills and what that could potentially mean, they would probably see beyond, what is presented to them as a primary choice of career outside of academia.
And talk us through a little bit the role of a client services manager, account manager slash director, whatever. I mean, you sort of said it's not an accountant, which I think some people think it is.
Absolutely.
But having said that, the financial budget management and so on is a big part of it, isn't it? So just try and give us a flavour and a flavour of the sort of work that you do on a day-to-day basis in client services.
Absolutely. And like I said, I started my career as an account manager, and I think most people now would start as an account executive or an associate account executive, and then work their way up. And essentially, the kind of work that you do doesn't really change. You sort of just level up a little bit, and so a lot of it very much is relationships, right? So whether it's with your clients, whether it's internally with your colleagues and managing those sort of, project related aspects with your clients. You're very much, there for what their needs are. What do you need? How can we help you? And collaborating and having those discussions with them, and then taking it back to your team and relaying it to the medical services team, to the creative team, to studio, whoever needs to be involved. And then just sort of managing things as they come. So, like you said, financially, that was probably my largest growth area because, like I said, definitely not my strong suit, but you
Right.
work with the right people, you have the right resources. And I actually really enjoy the finances now, just making sure that we are where we need to be. We're being efficient, because at the end of the day, somebody's trusting you with this money to get that work done, and you want to be responsible with it. And then so that's the financial element. And then there's like timelines, making sure that you're sticking to time, making sure everybody knows what they're doing, when they need to get things done by. So there's lots of different elements that come together. You're sort of, the central person, the glue, that's sort of holding everything together. And just keeping things moving. And as you move up in your career, you become account manager, senior account manager, director, as a client service director now. For me, a lot of it is just, making sure that I'm supporting my teams to make sure they have what they need to keep everything moving and keeping everything happy. But maintaining that relationship with my clients on maybe a higher level or more of a strategic level. On, where they are in their product life cycle. If it's a launch, what are we going to do? How are we going to help you get to where you want to be? If it's sort of maintenance, then, how can we continue to differentiate if there's any new data? What's going to be beneficial to you to communicate? And how can we go about doing that? And then working with the teams to sort of make it happen.
I think it's interesting. I mean, you've made the point that you come up through the PhD route into client services, and typically medical writing has a certainly a if not postgraduate, maybe a PhD background. Although I know it's not absolute, but that's the ten that tendency. If you're a PhD, you'd be thinking about writing. So you're going the client services route, which we've said is a little bit different. But what I'm interested in there is, I mean, it's obviously worked for you, but how important do you think it is that, that on the client services side you have life science, let alone the further degrees in sort of, with your postgrad and so on? I mean, account management client services tends to be a much broader mix of people, but from your point of view, how important is that? Is that level of life science background, do you think?
I wouldn't say it's crucial, but it definitely helps. I think not only the, it's beneficial to the clients if you know what they're talking about and, you can reliably relay their message over to the medical services side, even though, I mean, they'll be present too, but it's always good to have that person who you think is knowledgeable and they'll trust your knowledge. But it's actually really beneficial for you as well because you have a better understanding of what's going on, of why the work is so important. I always tell people, you don't have to get into the nitty-gritty of it. If you have a science background or not, you don't have to get too involved. It helps, right? It's that added value, again, not for the client, but for yourself as well. You really understand why we do what we do is so important, and it sort of, I think it drives motivation, it inspires you. And it makes you just enjoy what you do a little bit more when you really understand, what's happening on a slightly deeper level.
And it comes back to those transferable skills. It's just a really important point you made there, that transferable skills, not necessarily the ones you think about, are important. And you and as in your situation with your postdoc, your PhD postdoc, you've picked up a lot of skills in terms of multitasking and project management
Absolutely.
and communications and all sorts of things. And that's probably what got you jobs in client services, but then the science background sort of underlies all that. So that's just really interesting to hear that. And then it sounds like you're quite, you're very happy that you've ended up on the client services side, and you're in Canada, and it's all
Absolutely.
going really well, isn't it? It's worked out quite well, yeah.
It is. Yeah, I really enjoy it. Canada is very I don't know how different it is, but it is definitely different to the way that they work in the States, definitely in the UK, aside from the differences in guidelines and indications and approvals and Health Canada works differently to the FDA and but even that, even working within the differences sometimes is a nice little challenge. And becoming familiar, you know, the more information you get, it's always very interesting to know. But I do like it here in Canada.
Just out of it, just and again, I want to wrap up actually because we're going to run out of time. But just out of interest, again, just within a company like IPG at the broadest level,
Yes.
how much opportunity is there to move around countries, roles? Just I presume there's a reasonable amount of opportunity there.
Absolutely. And especially now with the more sort of hybrid situation. I mean, we have an office in Toronto and I try to go as often as I can, but I mainly work from home and that's how I communicate with all of my colleagues. And actually, Cordex and throughout IPG, we're very lucky in that if we have an interest in learning more about a particular, project type or anywhere else, you kind of have access to that virtually, and you can join a team and be a part of that team virtually. But even if it's something that, for example, if you're moving countries or you're just interested in doing something like that, then it's definitely a discussion to be had with HR and see how you can achieve that. But
And I
it's nice
suppose
to have the
again,
option.
having the options there, yeah. Again, I guess I know what the answer is going to be, but because IPG is a big, big organization, yeah. I guess what you'd say is Cordex, at 150 or so of you worldwide, 50 in Canada, has its own sort of culture and I guess you feel part of the Cordex family and then part of the bigger IPG family rather than just part of a very big organization.
Absolutely. The majority of my career, I actually was with a startup. So we started up as five people and built up to 50. And that family feel is what I loved, doing a bit of everything, really, not just, increases your experience and exposure to things, but you learn so much, right? But that intimacy and that sort of connection with people was so important to me. And so when I came to Cordex, I was like, oh, it's a big company. Am I gonna get that same feeling? And like you said, you do because you are, you've got Cordex, and then you know that someone's always got your back. Whatever I need, I can literally on Teams just message someone who's in Brazil or South Africa and be like, hey, I'm doing this. I could really use your help. Quickly put, time on. And it's like we've known each other for years. And you can do that, across anywhere. So it is lovely to have that, family feel, but also know that, whatever you need, they've got you. So we're very lucky that way for sure.
Fantastic. Okay, look, we've run out of time. These conversations I find fascinating. I just love li listening to you talking and the enthusiasm that comes across for what you're doing. So it's great this worked out so well for you over there in Canada, and long may it continue. But thanks for coming on and having a chat with us today. And I'm just going to say, give us a little wave and say goodbye, and everyone take care. Bye.